Let's look at our Bibles this evening to the book of Revelation, to chapter 20. The book of Revelation, and in chapter 20, and I'd like for us to read verses 1 through verse 10. Revelation in chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. After that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. Our subject is this 1,000 years that is mentioned in Revelation 20, called the millennial. And certainly this has a reference to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom here upon this earth. It is a very broad subject, the millennial, the return of Christ, and all the events that are going to take place then, and certainly it's more than can be covered in a single message. And I mention that because if I do not mention something that you're expecting or whatever, that would may be the reason I can't cover it all. So if I do not say something or mention something that may be very important to you, it's not because I don't believe it. I just can't cover it all in a single message. But I will attempt to cover a few things concerning this major event. First of all, if you would, look with me in the Bible to the book of Titus. Titus in chapter 2. A verse here that, again, as I mentioned often, it should be familiar to the saints of God. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. What are we looking for? What are we expecting? Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That is the expectation, the hope, what we are looking and longing for, that blessed hope. And it says, and the glorious appearing. several ways that can rightly be understood. Certainly, just as it is written, it will be a glorious appearing. And I'll just emphasize here just for a moment, it will be an appearing. He's going to appear the second time. It's also could be the appearing of his glory, the full manifestation of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Both of those interpretations are correct. And verse 13 could certainly be understood in that manner. Also, before we go back to Revelation 20, if you would, look in the book of 1 Peter and in chapter 1. In 1 Peter and in chapter 1, one verse of scripture that I think is important relating to the millennial and the return of Christ, the appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you, and here's the words, at the revelation of Jesus Christ. His glorious appearing will be the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is drastic changes are going to take place at this glorious appearing and the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to try to mention just a few of those changes. But back in Revelation 20 and in verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. That this angel that is mentioned in verse 1 is the Lord Jesus Christ. There can be no serious doubt. This is when he does descend. He has ascended. He has gone up. And he is going to descend. He is going to come back. And you'll notice that he has with him the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he lays hold upon the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and binds him for 1,000 years. No one but the Lord has the power and authority to do that. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 1, I saw an angel come down from heaven. And again, those words are important. He's not just going to somehow magically appear. He's going to come down from heaven. Let me mention this. Go with me to the book of Acts in chapter 1. Acts and in chapter 1, and these words are so important. And this has to do with the ascension of the Lord when he went up. Notice what's written in Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, even as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. I think in right to rightly understand the return of the Lord when he does come back from heaven, you have to pay attention to these words when he went up into heaven. Some of the most important words here to me are found in verse 11, which tells us he's going to come back in the like manner as he went up. Things are going to be very similar as when he went up. Well, I notice in verse 9, while they beheld. Someone, people were watching him go up. Verse 10, they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up. Verse 11, in the last words, ye have seen him go into heaven. Well, the angels of the Lord said he's going to come back in like manner. How anyone can think this is going to be secretive, I don't know. It's going to be visible. People saw him and watched him go up into heaven. Every eye is going to see him when he comes back from heaven. And again, these words are important. A cloud received him into heaven, and he'll come back with clouds. A lot of things are important here in our understanding of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He went up in that same body that he walked this earth in, the same body that was crucified, the same body that was buried, the same body that rose from the grave, the same body that was seen after his resurrection, that same physical body went up. They watched him go up. All of a sudden, they're on the mountain. He just defied gravity, and he is the Lord of gravity, and he just went up. Well, we're told he's going to come again. Look in the book of 1 Thessalonians, if you would. In 1 Thessalonians, and first of all, in chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 3, verse 13. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even your Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Then we read in chapter 4 and in verse 16 that it is the Lord himself. The angel said this same Jesus will come in like manner. Here the apostle writes, the Lord himself shall descend. Again, he's not just going to appear. He went up, he's going to come down. He shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And when he does, the dead in Christ are going to rise. And Revelation 20 speaks to us about the first resurrection. And here it says, when he does descend, that the dead in Christ are going to rise. And again, it's important. In 2 Thessalonians and in chapter 1, 2 Thessalonians and in chapter 1, the apostle still writes about the return of the Lord, beginning in verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. You remember that Peter wrote about the coming of the Lord as the revelation of Jesus Christ. Here it says, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Back to Revelation again, in chapter 20 and in verse 1. You'll notice that when the Lord Jesus Christ does come down from heaven, he's going to have two things with him. It's stated in verse 1. He's going to have the key of the bottomless pit. And he's also going to have a great chain in his hand. You might remember, and I'll read it in Revelation chapter 1 and in verse 18. Revelation 1 and in verse 18, Jesus had said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. The power and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, both of those are seen in the key and the chain that's mentioned in Revelation 20 and in verse 1. Notice it says he has the key of the bottomless pit. That word, the phrase there, bottomless pit, comes from a word that actually means the abyss. And it simply means, that word bottomless simply means unmeasurable. Unmeasurable. Hold your place, and if you look in the book of Luke in chapter 8, Luke, and in chapter 8, we have that word translated in a by a different word in Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8 and in verse 26, Luke 8, 26, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. Now, I want you to notice that word deep there. That's the same word that we get the word abyss from, the bottomless pit. And this deep here is not speaking about the lake that's mentioned in verse 30. It's speaking about these demons know their end is the abyss. The bottomless pit. And I'll just point this out. Verse 32. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. They besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man, entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at Jesus' feet, clothed in his right mind, and were afraid. Now I'm just going to mention this as a side note. While this man was possessed of these devils, these demons, the Bible tells us that he was naked. He was unclothed. But notice after Jesus cast out the demons and the devils, you'll notice in verse 35 that now he is sitting at Jesus' feet, clothed and in his right mind. Just makes you wonder, You see people today just not hardly clothed out in public. You wonder if they're in their right mind. This man now was in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus, and he was clothed. But the word deep here that's mentioned is the same word for the abyss, for the bottomless pit. Back in Revelation again, if you would go to chapter 11, Revelation, and in chapter 11, notice verse 7. Revelation 11 and verse 7. When they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war with them, and shall overcome them and kill them. I find it interesting that the beast ascends out of the bottomless pit. Look also in chapter 17, if you would. Revelation, and in chapter 17, we'll read verse 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Now it gives the appearance here that before our text in Revelation 20, before the binding of Satan, and certainly he being cast into the lake of fire, it seems like before that there was an ascension of some demons, the beast here, out of the bottomless pit. But Jesus has the key of the bottomless pit. And when he is through, those that are there will remain there for all of eternity. There will be no more coming out of it. Notice in Revelation 20 and in verse 1 and verse 2, I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Notice his first action. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now, there can be no mistake here who he is dealing with as we read verse 2. The dragon, the serpent, the devil, and Satan. It's the same wording almost if you look in Revelation 12 and in verse 9. Revelation 12 and in verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. In Revelation 20 and in verse 2, Jesus having all power in heaven and earth, and that was, I think, a resurrection gift unto him. After the resurrection, he said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. But having that all power in heaven and earth, he certainly has the power and the authority to bind the devil. To bind the devil. Now this requires much power. Anyone who is familiar with the Word of God knows the power of Satan. He is far greater in power than you and I or all of our combined efforts. We have no power, no authority to bind the devil. There are many charismatics that seem to think they have the power to bind Satan, but it's all a farce. They do not. Jesus has the power to bind Satan. Again, it requires much power and authority. In verse 2, he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. The word bound here means to tie. It's the same word that you would use if you want to speak about knitting or winding something. It means to place in bonds. I've heard preachers over the years ridicule the language here and ridicule those that believe that this is a real thing that's going to take place. This is literally going to take place. But some say, well, what kind of chain would he have to bind Satan? And they ridicule many things about the chain and the binding of Satan, but they'll have to answer for the Lord to the Lord for that. You notice he binds Satan, and in verse 3, once he has bound Satan, he cast him into the abyss, the bottomless pit, and shut him up and set a seal upon him. Now, personally, I like the words he shut him up. That not only means he closed him in and limited him to the bottomless pit, it means also he cannot deceive the nations. He shut his mouth for 1,000 years. He really did shut him up. He set a seal up on him. Satan bound for 1,000 years. It's hard to imagine that. That's mentioned in verse 2. Bound him 1,000 years. And in verse 3, it says, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. Now, the 1,000 years that are mentioned here, it is a definite period of time that has a definite beginning and it will have a definite end. You'll notice in verse 5, the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. That's important for us to understand for this reason. There are multitudes today that say that the language in Revelation 20 concerning this number of years is just figurative language. They say that it's an indefinite period of time. Well, the Bible makes it very clear about this. And again, there are some Baptist preachers, and you would know some of them, that really hold to this, really deny the plain language of the Scriptures here. Those who deny the literal interpretation of Revelation 20 concerning the 1,000 years are known as amillennialists. And you put an A before the word and it means a negative. It changes it to a negative. And they say there is no literal 1,000 years. In verse 5, when it says, the rest of the dead lived not again till the 1,000 years were expired, this is the first resurrection. Amillennialists hold the view, and they just grab it out of the air, out of their own imagination, that the first resurrection is actually regeneration. Again, in a denial of the literal 1,000 years of Revelation 20, they say that it's regeneration. They also believe that Satan is bound now. How anyone could believe that Satan is bound now, I don't know. We see his activity all around us. Nations are still being deceived. I had one man who held did hold to this view of amillennialism, and he told me that we're in that indefinite period now, and we are receiving our rewards now. And I asked him, I said, why don't you just examine your life? He had nothing but trouble after trouble after trouble, and he tried to tell me he was getting rewards now. In Revelation 20, the 1,000 years are referred to 6 times. 3 times it is stated that the devil is bound for 1,000 years. You'll find that in verse 2, verse 3, and verse 7. Twice it is stated that saints will reign for 1,000 years. And you'll find that in verse 4 and in verse 6. If you look at verse 3, 4, 5, and 7, I'm just going to take time to read those and point it out as we go. Verse 3, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years shall be fulfilled. Verse 4, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their right hand, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. If you look at verse 5, the rest of the dead lived not again till the 1,000 years were expired. I just emphasize that word "the" here. Just notice the word "the" in this verse. If you look at verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired, anyone, I would think, even with just 6th grade English classes in school, would know that the definite article always points to a definite thing, or it would not be called the definite article. It is the 1,000 years. There are many who put great emphasis on the definite articles in John chapter 14 and in verse 6. You'll remember that verse. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And some of these preachers that I know make great claims and really emphasize the definite article in John 14 and verse 6, that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. But somehow, when it gets to Revelation 20, they just totally neglect, dismiss, do not believe the definite article here would have the same meaning as in John chapter 14 and in verse 6. Consistency sometimes is in very short demand. And I would say supply also. The 1,000 years. The 1,000 years. How anyone could deny that, I don't know. The 1,000 years. In verse 2, the millennium begins with the binding of the devil. And in verse 7, the millennial will end with the loosing of the devil. It's the 1,000 years. We can also say that the millennial begins with the first resurrection and ends with the second resurrection. There is 1,000 years between the two. Now, I'm mentioning this heresy of amillennialism because it's gaining ground among Baptists. It really is. And why, I really don't know. But who would give anyone the right to say that what God has plainly stated here six times is not so? Who could say that the language here has no meaning at all? Again, in verse 2, the devil and Satan is bound for 1,000 years. Is that real? Is it true? The 1,000 years that are mentioned throughout the scriptures in verse 3 again, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. If the number here of 1,000 years is not literal, if it's just figurative, what is to stop us from saying all numbers in the scripture are not real, they're just figurative? If you take that position, you can make any number mean anything that you would want to. If 1,000 years does not mean 1,000 years, how do you know 3 means 3? And I mentioned that. How would you know that Jesus actually was in the grave 3 days and 3 nights if numbers don't have a real meaning? If you can have the right to say that one number has no meaning, you have a right to say all other numbers have no meaning. If you can say that numbers here have no real meaning, what is to stop you from saying that words have no definite meaning? I mean, a dictionary would be useless. Again, consistency. Back in Revelation 20 and in verse 3, Jesus has a purpose in binding Satan, casting him into the bottomless pit, shutting him up, and setting a seal upon him. The stated purpose is that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. That is the purpose of the binding of Satan. And I'll say again, amillennialists hold that he's bound now. Well, my Bible tells me he's as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. I cannot help but wonder at the spiritual blindness of people who cannot see the activity of the devil in the world today. Are not nations and people still being deceived? Go back to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation and then chapter 2. The letters to the churches of Asia. And I want you to just notice some things as mentioned in the letter to the church of Smyrna. Revelation chapter 2 and in verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. Could he do that if he's already bound? Could he do that? To me, it's just ridiculous to think the devil is not bound now. During the 1,000 years, I'm back in Revelation 20. During the 1,000 years, during the millennial, in which the devil will be bound, nations shall not be deceived. Again, verse 3 of Revelation 20, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal up on him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. During this 1,000 years, there will not be the deception of the devil in this world. During this 1,000 years, peace, truth, and righteousness are going to reign upon this earth. It's going to be a time like we've never experienced. Some have referred to it as the golden age, and I guess that's a good description of it. But during this 1,000 years, when Satan is bound, there are going to be great changes take place upon this earth. Look back to the book of Isaiah, if you would. In Isaiah and in chapter 2, this is a familiar prophecy. Isaiah chapter 2. Now I'll read verse 4. He shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. It's going to be a time of peace, of righteousness. And let's look in the same book in Isaiah. Look in chapter 11. In Isaiah and in chapter 11, I'm going to begin at verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leper shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like an ox. The suckling child shall play on the hole of the ass, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Now that did not happen at the first coming of the Lord. It just did not happen. Well, when is it going to take place? When is it that it says here in verse 9, the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord? It will happen on the return of the Lord, the millennial. In the same book, let's just read one other place. Go to Isaiah 65. Isaiah, and in chapter 65, let's begin in verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. The former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. Be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Let me just stop there. If you paid any attention to what's going on in the Middle East now, you know that's not happening now. But it will be in the future. Verse 20, there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the works of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the bullock. And dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. What a time is coming upon this earth. Back to Revelation 20 and verses 1 through verse 3. I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. Question. If Jesus does have all power in heaven and earth, and he does, why doesn't he right now, or even before this time period, bind the devil and cast him into the bottomless pit? Why hadn't he done that already? He has power and authority to do that. Why has he not done it? Well, the answer is very simple. He's not through with the devil yet. He's not through with it. Look back to chapter 19. And note verse 20, chapter 19 and in verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Preceding Revelation 20, the beast and the false prophet are already cast into the lake of fire. Why not Satan? Well, the Lord's through with the beast and the false prophet. They are under his control. They have accomplished the purpose that God had set for them. He's not through with the devil yet. You look at verse 3 of Revelation 20. Cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must, notice that, he must be loosed a little season. God's got a purpose for all of this. He's not through with the devil yet. If you read down to verse, look down at verse 7 and read verse 7 through verse 9. When the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, as we're told that he must be. It'll only be for a short season, but he's loosed out of his prison and shall go out and resume his work of deceiving the nations of the earth. He shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And what happens? Fire came down from God out of heaven and destroyed them. God has the devil and has another purpose for the devil. He's going to gather together, it says in verse 8, all of these together against the saints of God. They're going to compass the saints of God, and when it has them all together, all of a sudden, fire's going to come down from heaven, out of heaven, and going to devour them all. He's going to be loosed. In verse 8, he'll go out and deceive the nations once again. In verse 9, all of these are going to be destroyed. Verse 10, God's now through with the devil. He's a tool of the devil, of God, and God's through with him. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, which we read of in chapter 19 and in verse 20, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. God's through with him. At the end of the 1,000 years, these things are going to take place. The devil will be tormented in the lake of fire forever and ever. It sort of destroys the idea of some that the devil's in charge of hell, doesn't it? Sounds to me like God's in charge. Sounds like God's going to charge. One more thing, and I'll close with Revelation chapter 5. There's a misconception about the millennial, and we read in Revelation 20 that we're going to reign with him. And I've mentioned this before, and I hope you take note of it. The wording of one of the hymns says, "We shall reign with him on high." I don't believe a word of it. Notice what is said in Revelation 5, and in verse 10, "And hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." When's that going to take place? It's not taking place now. We shall reign with him on the earth. Again, the subject of the millennial is a broad subject. Many things I have not mentioned concerning it. But it is the blessed hope of the saints, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.